They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know, they ask? Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. That song didn't really help me too much with my talk. Why do these things happen? And I'd like to start with kind of just asking some other questions. Is this premise even true? Is it actually true? Do good things happen? It seems like a lot of good things happen to bad, wicked people, and bad things happen to us. We have sufferings in our lives. And why do we have sufferings in our lives? Aren't we good people? Is this actually true? Do you know that two people die every single second? If I take my entire time, which I usually always do, 3,600 people will have left this earth. Do you care? Are you going to ask, why did this happen? We might not, right? There's a good chance we don't know any of them. But 3,600 people can leave this earth in the next half hour. And there will be friends and family of those that love them. And many of them will be asking why. Why was this allowed to happen? We don't usually ask that question until one of those 3,600 people is someone we know. It's kind of selfish sounding, isn't it? I wrote this phrase down and I kept reading it. I kept thinking, that's a weird phrase, but I'm going to say it anyway. Death is the way of life. Death is the way of life. Hebrews 9:27 says, man is destined to die once, and then the judgment. It's coming. It's coming to all of us, whether we are good or bad. Matthew 5:45 says, the Heavenly Father causes His Son to perpetually shine on the good and sends drizzly, wet rain continuously on the unrighteous. You let me get away with that? What translation is he reading from? This isn't what it says. Why do we have these beliefs that we think that it's unjust, that things are, that I'm a good person, that I should never have any suffering in my life? Where do we get these ideas? Matthew 5:45 says, the Heavenly Father causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This premise that good happens to bad and bad happens to good is not true. It's not even a true premise. And what's worse about it is when we get into those feelings about that, what are we basing the premise on? We're basing the assumption on that those are the bad and I am good. Isn't that what we're saying? Why do I have all these sufferings? I'm a good person. I'm considering myself good. What have I done? Or am I worthy to not have any sufferings in my life? In Luke, the 13th chapter, in verses 1 through 5, there's always an intriguing conversation here. It's something that Jesus says. It says, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? You think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. What's Jesus saying here? Jesus saying is that you're not better than other people. There's good, there's bad. And those people there were standing in a place where the tower fell. That's what happens. But what does he warn us every single time? He says, repent, or you too will perish. Perish like these people? These people perished from the earth. What's Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about perishing forever. Right? This is our problem. We think about the world. We think about what there is in this world for us. And we lose our sight on what is truly mattered. I hope this isn't depressing. I want to eventually put a positive spin on all this. But bad things happen to all of us in this world. As long as we're in this world, whether you're good or bad, bad things are going to happen to us. And the longer you live, the more things you're going to be able to count. The more bad things, the more suffering that we will have to endure while we are in this world. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, this is what Jesus says. This is the promise. In this world you will have trouble. That's what Jesus tells us. In this world you will have trouble. But the next part is the best. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Isn't that great? That is great. Take heart. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have sufferings. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Another question that was asked in the letter that I received was, are our sins a factor in suffering these bad things in our life? Are sins a factor in suffering these bad things in our life? I'm going to get further depressing. The answer is an unequivocal yes. It's yes. Sins are the reason that we have suffering and bad things in this life. What is our payment? What is our salary for the sins that we commit? What are our wages that we earn for sin? It's death. It has always been. These are the wages of sin. This is what happens from sin. We have death in this world. We have suffering in this world because of the sin. In 1 Corinthians 15:26, we hear the good news that the last enemy, and what is the last enemy? Death is the last enemy. And what's going to happen to that last enemy? It's going to be destroyed. Death is going to be thrown into hell. Death is going to be the last enemy that's going to be destroyed because Christ overcame. In John, the 8th chapter, verse 44, we have some very harsh words by our Savior in regards to Satan. He describes them, he says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So we can blame a lot of people. We can blame a lot of things. We can blame God, or can we blame God for the sufferings that we have in our lives? I don't think we can. I think we can blame ourselves because we are sinners, and therefore we're going to have suffering and bad things in our life. And we can clearly blame Satan for bringing this into the world, for helping us to bring sin into the world. What does it say he was? He was a murderer. Satan is a murderer. How is he a murderer? He lied to us, didn't he? He said, thou wilt not surely die. That was a lie. That was a lie. And we sinned. And we fell into his trap. And death came upon us. And it's still here. And we still endure it. Did you know that my mom was murdered? She was murdered. Everybody that you've ever known that has passed on already was murdered by Satan and our sins. We need a Savior. We need someone to save us from this. The question still there is there. We can blame ourselves, our sins. We can blame Satan. But God is still there, right? So why does he allow it? Why does he allow the suffering to continue? Why doesn't he stop us, stop it from happening to us? And there's many passages, and I'd like to go to several passages on this, but I'm always under the belief that God gave us brains. And there should be some just really common sense on some questions that we can answer. Why does God allow us to endure tribulations and trials and suffering? Well, how many of you are parents here? Do you just nonstop don't allow your kids to have any suffering in their lives at all? Do you give them every single thing they ask for? Do you have evil children? Because you will if you're like that. We don't give our kids every single thing they ask for. When I'm teaching my child to walk for the first time, I'm very excited. I watch. I don't walk right in front of him the whole time like this, just waiting to catch him till he falls. I let him walk right down the sidewalk, and I just wait. It's coming. I know it's coming. And he falls down. Scrapes his knee. He's bleeding. Crying. I have one son that literally, I think, has hysteria. He can't even breathe. He cries so hard. Now, what does he do? Does he get up and run away and say, how dare you allow that to happen to me? Why weren't you there to catch me? Why did you do that, Father? Do they do that? No, they don't. Be as little children, right? What do? They come running to me for comfort, which I give freely. So happy to do. But I allowed them to suffer so they can get up and they can learn and they can give comfort to others. This is what we do. This is what parents do that are good parents. Why do we expect our Father in heaven to be different than that? Aren't we created in His image? This is the way that He created us, to know, to understand this. And so God's not going to be there to pick us up every time. He wants us to pick up. But if we go to Him in our sorrow and our anguish, He is there to comfort us. He cares for us. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, right? And every time we talk about this story, we're always wanting to talk about what the thorn in the flesh is. I don't care about that at all this morning. I'd have no care. You can have all your theories, whatever. I don't care. Who gave him that thorn in the flesh? Where does he say that thorn in the flesh, he was tormented by what? By who? Satan, right? The thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan, whatever it was. It was a messenger of Satan. Why did God allow that to happen? So he what? He wouldn't get too proud, right? Keep him humble. I think that's what I heard back there, right? This is right. Satan was the cause of the suffering, but God allowed it. God allowed it. Let's go to that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10. To keep me from becoming conceited. And why? Because Paul had a lot of revelations, didn't he? Jesus spoke to him several times. I have just recently in our studies through Acts, I have been surprised at how many times that the Lord appeared to Paul. You know, a lot of times we don't think about that. But it says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. That's praying, right? Praying. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly because about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is why we're allowed to suffer. Suffering helps. It helps. And I know if you really look into your lives and you think about tragedies and things that have happened to your families, and boy, we all have them, don't we? Can you see how it could have helped you? My mother died. I can count so many blessings that I have received from that suffering. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. This is why God allows these things. Because it's not about this world. It's not about this world. God is grooming us and molding us and shaping us so that we can have the eternal blessings. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Paul again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We all have sufferings. Don't fail at them. I have seen people fail at their sufferings. Does that seem strange? How do we fail at our sufferings? Have you seen people that have had sufferings, real tragedy in their life, and turn away from God at the time you would need Him the most? Turn away from God. Abandon God. That is failing in our sufferings. We're supposed to come closer to God in our sufferings. We're supposed to learn and feel the comfort. And then when some of our dear friends have sufferings in their life, we share with them the comfort that we were given by God. This is the whole purpose of suffering in our lives. This is what God wants us to do with this. And there's two types of people. As I go through and I get older, I see two types of people that how you deal with suffering. You either praise God and bring Him in and get the comfort from God, or you turn away from Him. It's one or the other. This is the way they go. And we see this in Job chapter 2, verse 10. We see both examples in a really short verse. Think about Job and his family. Blessed beyond their wildest dreams. Children, livestock, land, riches. And what happens? Satan was allowed to torment them. God allowed it. God says, I will test Job. Watch how he does. Let's see if Job fails at his suffering. Job didn't fail at his suffering, but his wife did. Right? What does his wife do? How did his wife fail at their suffering? Curse God. Did you ever think about that? Curse God. Talk about abandonment. Curse Him. He did this to you. And what does Job respond after he calls her a foolish woman? He says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And oh, how we are that way, aren't we? Your life can go along and be just great. You're just blessed every day. So many good things are happening to you. How many days do you drop to your knees in prayer to Him, thanking Him for all those things? How easy it is to go just through the days receiving these blessings and not once go to Him in prayer and thank Him for that. But boy, when the suffering comes, which is going to come, but when that comes on you, what's the attitude? Why? How could you give this to me? Do we accept the good from Him and then blame Him when we have sufferings? This is the way the world acts. We have sufferings in our life. We all do. But how many blessings do you have? Think about them. I've asked my grandparents several times, if you knew that your daughter was going to leave this world before you, and you had the option, would you have not given birth to her? The answer is obvious, isn't it? The answer is obvious to them. Of course I would have given birth to her. 52 years of blessings with her. When Ron asked Jean to marry him, would she still have said yes? I believe so. These are blessings that we have, that we share with each other. How dare we fail in our sufferings? Because if we fail in our sufferings, we won't see these people again. They endured and they passed their sufferings. They passed and they won. And they conquered death. Sufferings can bring some people closer to God, and it drives some people away. This is how we know. This is how God proves who is living for this world and who has a greater hope. Are you living for this world, or do you have something better in mind? Some greater hope. If we go to chapter 3 in Daniel, this is another one of those stories that I use in almost every talk I give. I love this passage. It says, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, I like using their God-given names, replied to the king. This is in reference to Nebuchadnezzar telling them, why aren't you bowing down to me? You need to bow down to this golden idol, or you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O King. Now that verse right there in itself is pretty good. Everybody knows how evil and terrible Nebuchadnezzar was. He did terrible things to people. And these three young men are standing up to him in this matter and says, we don't need to defend ourselves to you. God can save us if He wants. But the next verse is much better. Always focus on this next verse, verse 18. But even if He does not, if God chooses to allow us to go ahead through this suffering and decides not to, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Now, wouldn't it be great if we went through our lives with that attitude? God is able to save me from any sufferings I have. But if He chooses not to, that's all the better. Because I live for something other than this world. I have a greater hope. And Think how much sufferings these three people might have went on through the rest of their life. It would have been over if this was ended here. God did spare them in this case. But that's great faith. That is great faith. Whether He saves us or whether He allows us to go on. Whether He answers our prayers or whether He thinks He has some other will in mind for us. We don't deny Him. We accept Him. He saved us. Don't think that Jesus doesn't care. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your worries on Him because He cares for you. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. When we start dwelling on our sufferings, we should consider Christ. We should consider Christ. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. For consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint of heart. Consider Him. When Christ was on the cross, He said, "My Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" You know what the answer to that question is? It's us. We're the reason that God had to forsake Him. We talk about our sufferings and how there's evil people in the world that can cause our sufferings. I separated my Father from His Son. I did that. I caused Him to be tortured. And He gave His life for me. Don't tell us that God doesn't care about us. Don't ever say that. Don't fail in your sufferings. Don't let Him down after what we've done to Him. I shortchanged Asaph at the beginning of this lesson. I just read the part of the song about where he was complaining about all the bad people seem like they have everything right for them and that God's not helping us. I want to make that right, and I want to read the rest of his song. And remember, the last verse was, "So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is." Then it goes on. "Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert Him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do."